Thank you for that ministry and song. Also want to say thank you, as my dad mentioned this morning, for the Pastor Appreciation Sunday and for all the goods and gift cards and notes of appreciation that were given. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. If you could please take your Bibles tonight and turn to Hosea 10. Hosea chapter 10, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 15 tonight. Hosea 10, 12 through 15, we'll read verses 10 through 15. You may look a little bit at it, verse 11, but we're going to mainly be looking at verses 12 through 15. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea 10, we'll begin reading in verse number 10. It says, "It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn." So here Ephraim is an heifer that is taught, loves to tread out the corn. I guess in one sense, that would be maybe one job that would be well-liked, you know, by cattle, because they were not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. So there was an immediate reward for the work that they were doing. In a sense, Israel was like that. They liked whatever was brought them temporal prosperity. It says, "But I passed over upon her fair neck." So God now is going to yoke up Israel for his purpose. "But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods." This type of work does not bring immediate reward. When you go to plant, if you're going to reap, or if you're going to plant a garden, if you're going to reap a harvest, you don't just walk out there and get something. It takes work. You've got to plow the ground. All right, but before you plow the ground, you have to have something to plow the ground with. Okay, you've got to work that ground up. It's not just good enough to plow the ground. All right, it has to be disc. The clods need to be broken up, so it's prepared for sowing the seed. And then you can sow the seed, but then it has to be what? There has to be rain. There's got to be water. The weeds have to be taken care of. And there is a time period that elapses and much work that goes into the care of those plants so that there can be a harvest. So Ephraim, you know, they liked the work that brought something right away, but not necessarily that which brought long-term reward. Verse number 12, going along with that theme here of farming, it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground." And here the idea of fallow is not ground that has lain without being sowed for a while, but this is ground that has been recently plowed, recently fallowed. It can be used in two different senses, the word fallow. In fact, if you look it up in the dictionary, you'll find that it can refer to ground that has been set aside for a period of time, or it can also refer to ground that has been recently plowed. And this here in this passage refers to ground that has been recently plowed. It says, "Break up." All right, so you've got those clumps, you need to break them up. "For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, And all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, Shalman, which is short for Shalmaneser, spoiled Betharbel, in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. The Assyrians were very cruel, and not just the Assyrians, but other nations could be very cruel when they conquered a land. All right, they would take the children and slay them, maybe dash them upon the stone, and then they would take the mother and slay her. Instead of killing the mother first and then the children, they would, obviously, very torturous for a mother to see her children killed. And this is now what is going to be happening to the children of Israel because of their sin. Verse 15, so shall Bethel, which we looked at earlier, remember Beth Haven, house of vanity, which was Bethel, the house of God, do unto you because of your great wickedness. All right, so the place that they chose to set up their idolatry, Bethel, is going to be really the reason for why this judgment comes upon them. They had plowed wickedness. They had set up their false system of worship. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Israel had planted her seeds, and now she was going to reap her harvest. It was maybe a few months ago we had a message in the book of Hosea about sowing and reaping. And here we find this topic of sowing and reaping brought up in the book of Hosea. I'd like to look tonight at three keys to a successful harvest. And then we're going to look at the harvest that Israel experienced and why, and really it was not successful, what they experienced because of what they had sown. First of all, we find that if you're going to have a successful harvest, you must plant the right seed. Notice what it says in verse number 12. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. If you're going to have a successful harvest, you must plant the right seed. Nowadays, they're trying to develop many different types of seed for the particular place where they're going to be sown. Sweet corn nowadays. They're developing sweet corn that will germinate better in cold soils. All right, so if you live in the North Country and you want to have, you know, sweet corn before the end of the summer, you buy the kind of sweet corn that will germinate better in cold soils. You want to have the right kind of seed. If you plant the wrong kind of sweet corn and you don't have that really warm soil temperature, you're not going to have a harvest. It's going to rot in the ground, and either that or some worms are going to eat it up. You must plant the right seed. And as believers, we must sow the right seed if we're going to have a successful harvest. Over in Jeremiah chapter 4, we find a similar statement made as is made here in Hosea chapter 10. You know, somebody might ask, well, how am I going to sow the right seed? How am I going to plant the right seed? It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. How is that going to take place? In Jeremiah 4:3, at the second half of the verse, it says, break up your fallow ground. All right, here the fallow is the same word as is used in Hosea. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Notice what he says later on in the chapter, verse 14. He says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? In Hosea chapter 10, what had the children of Israel done? Well, they had set up a vain system, an empty system of worship. Notice later on in verse number 22, it says, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish," or foolish children, silly children. "And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge." What is it going to require for us to plant the right seeds? Well, it says here, they are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. In order to sow the right kind of seeds, it is going to take the proper knowledge of what is right, so we can sow righteousness. Israel was not wise concerning that which was good. Instead, they were wise to do evil. They knew all about what was wrong because they had practiced it so much in their lives. They knew how to do it. But to do what was right, it was going to take some knowledge. It was going to take knowledge of what was right. You know, sometimes we don't want to know certain things that are in the Bible because we don't want to have to feel like we're under the pressure of doing that. You know, if like we don't know a certain verse, then it's like we don't feel like we're under, you know, we don't have, our conscience isn't going to bother us then because we don't know about it. We're not going to feel that weight that we must follow it. You know, but really that is foolish thinking. Because the Bible says to sow to yourself in righteousness, and we're not going to be able to follow that which is right if we have no knowledge of it. You know, sometimes it's not easy to know what's right. But if we do know what's right, then we can be assured that we are planting the right seeds in our lives if we truly follow through with what we know to be. Now, many times, the problem is not that we don't know what's right. Many times, the issue is with the fact that we don't do what we know to be is right. But sometimes, people have the problem with not, in a sense, knowing what is right, but the reason they don't know what is right is because they don't want to know what is right, because then it would affect the way they live their lives. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Are we going to take the time and the effort that is necessary so we have the knowledge, so we can sow the right kind of seeds in our lives, so we can sow in righteousness? But then it says, reap in mercy, or reap in proportion to mercy. We can try all we want. We can put forth all our effort to do what is right. But the fact is, we are going to fall short of God's expectations upon our lives. And that, though, is where the mercy of God takes over. You know, we might not do everything perfectly. But 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know, God wants our heart to be in the right place, where we have a will that wills to do His will. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but it means we're going to sow in righteousness and we're going to reap in mercy. God's mercy is going to be upon our lives. It shows us that really it's all of God. God is doing the works in our life. Pride must be put away. You know, if we think we can do it, we're going to fail. We must recognize, you know, seeing that godly seed turn out, it takes what? It takes divine intervention. We cannot get by without sowing those seeds of righteousness. And at the same time, we cannot get by without the mercy of God. Amen. We must plant the right seed if we're going to reap the right harvest. Planting the right seed. What kind of seeds are you planting in your life, in your family? But not only is it important to plant the right seeds, but notice what it says, the next phrase. It says, break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. We must properly prepare the ground. The ground must properly be prepared. Now, I planted, well, I guess I could planted quite a few seeds this spring. But one thing I try to make sure to do, and it doesn't always happen because sometimes the weather doesn't always cooperate, but I try to get that soil nice and fine. And if you can get that soil nice and fine, you have a much better chance of those seeds germinating. But when you have thick clay ground that's not broken up, especially if you have small seeds that you're trying to get to germinate, you're going to have a hard time for those seeds to come up like they should. That ground needs to be properly prepared. You know, we can plant the right seeds in our church. We can plant the right seeds in our family. We can maybe plant the right seeds in our own lives. But if our hearts are not properly prepared to receive the seeds of the Word of God that we are seeking to implement in our lives, they're going to have a hard time growing in our lives. The ground must be properly prepared. Remember the verse we read in Jeremiah chapter 4 where it says to break up your fallow ground. It said, sow not where? Sow not among thorns. The ground must be properly broken up. Those sins in our lives must be broken up so that the seed of God's Word can grow in our lives and take root and produce the fruit that God intended for it to break up, to produce. You know, we might need to break up the selfish desires that we have in our lives. It might be the selfish ambitions that we have for fame or for fortune. It may be the sin of laziness that's in our lives that is a result of our own selfishness. You know, it may be the mopey attitude that we carry around in our lives instead of having the joy of the Lord. You know, it might be the lack of patience in our lives that we have to have everything right now. You know, the ground must be properly prepared for the Word of God to take root in our lives, for those right actions that we're trying to implement in our lives to have the desired effect. You know, are we preparing the ground properly? Are there some clods tonight in our lives that need to be broken up? You know, some of those clods are really hard to break up sometimes, especially when you got clay ground. You know, we got a section of over by Mrs. Womble's that we plant. And, you know, that ground can be kind of tricky to work with in the spring. And part of that ground, when you get really hard clods, that you can't just rototill them up. What they'll do is they'll break up some, and guess what you'll have? You'll have smaller clods is what you'll get. And the only way, really, for those clods to be broken up is to get some rain that will hit against those hard clods and make them and to get them broken up. And those clods need to be broken up in our lives. Sometimes they're so hard that it's going to take an act of God in our lives to get those hardened clumps broken up so that our hearts are fertile places for the seed of God to grow and produce the desired results. If we continue reading on, it's in this verse, it says, break up your fallow ground. We find the third key here. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. We find that we must persevere till the harvest. It says, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So in other words, this righteous reign of God, raining righteousness down upon us, does not necessarily say it's going to happen immediately. But there is a perseverance that must take place till the harvest comes. It says, for it is time to seek the Lord. There's that perseverance there. Time to seek the Lord. In Galatians chapter 6, and when it talks about sowing and reaping, what does it say? It says, be not weary in what? In well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap, if ye faint not. Here it says, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. We must persevere until the harvest comes. You know, it takes some faith for that farmer, in a sense, to plant those seeds. You know, if you hear statistics about how much investment a farmer has when they have thousands of acres and the amount of seed that it takes to plant, you know, those hundreds or thousands of acres, it's a big investment. You know, it takes some faith. You know, if the farmer said, well, you know, the farmer's almanac is predicting a dry summer, I think I'll just hold on to all this seed in case it's a dry summer. Well, he has no chance of what? He has no chance of the harvest. Or if he begins and maybe it's a wet spring and there's a lot of weeds growing, and he looks out in the field and it's going to be a lot of work to get all those weeds cleaned up. Well, if he doesn't get out there and persevere, the harvest isn't going to be what it would be. There must be a perseverance that takes place till the harvest comes. It takes faith. It takes dependency upon God. It takes trusting the promises of God that he is going to come and rain his righteousness upon us. Many different philosophies in our day go against this. They're skip the perseverance. You know, let's get what we're going to have right now. You think of the modern day church growth philosophy. We don't want to have to plant the seeds. We don't want to have to persevere until the harvest. We don't want to have to do things God's way. Let's just do some things that are going to please people and make them real happy and get a crowd really fast. Well, the problem is what's going to happen in the result. And if, as we'll look at later, what happened to Israel, they sowed the wrong things. They plowed wickedness. And all that, the great things that they had built, the fenced cities that they had, were all going to be cut off just like that. You know, these big mega churches, they might have a lot to show for themselves for the short amount of time that it took to build them. But those same places, the short amount of time it took to build them, will be the same short amount of time, or actually less, that it will take for those churches to be gone. A little persecution, and what's going to happen? You can see those churches empty out real fast. Either that or they'll go along with what's happening. Now think of today's child training philosophy. You know, let's take some shortcuts. Well, what's going to happen? The children are going to be destroyed. Think of the education philosophy. Let's do things that make people happy. You know, we don't want to make these kids work too hard. You know, we don't want to, you know, they've got to have all these after-school programs that are going to entertain them and make them feel good. You know, we got to throw a little bit more money at this situation and maybe it'll solve some problems. You know, sometimes you just sit there and think, you're just waiting for a politician to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to cut funding for education. You know, And, you know, what would happen? Well, they would have a firestorm on them. But, you know, what's gotten us into the mess that we're in? Well, it's the whole philosophy behind what we're doing. We don't want to persevere at anything. We want to just throw some money at it and get a quick fix. You know, you see in broken homes today, it's unfortunate, but what do you see? You see the mother or the dad trying to throw a bunch of money at their children to try to make a quick fix, to try to get their young people to love them. And they're passing by the perseverance to the seeking of the Lord that must take place for the real harvest to come. In Isaiah chapter 55, and we find there is this opportunity for perseverance that must be taken while it is there. Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." There is a window of opportunity, and we must take it while it is before us. Here in Hosea, the window of opportunity for Israel was running out. But God is pleading to them, it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. We must plant the right seed. We must properly prepare the ground. We must persevere till the harvest comes, till God brings in the harvest. As we continue on, though, we find Israel's response. We find what Israel did. What did they do? Notice what it says in verse 13. "Ye have plowed wickedness." Notice the result. "Ye have reaped iniquity." What they planted is what came forth. We must not kid ourselves into thinking that we can plant one seed and something else is going to come up in its place. You know, we can plant the wrong seeds and we can pray all we want in a sense for those wrong seeds to produce the right fruit. But until we get back and change the seeds that we're planting, we better not expect God to produce a certain kind of fruit from the wrong seeds. You know, God wants us to get back and get right with Him. Yes, we better spend time in prayer. We better be doing those things. The perseverance, recognizing it's only by God's mercy that anything's going to happen. But we must make sure there's the right seed. It says, "Ye have eaten the fruit of lies." Now they are partaking of what they were reaping. This fruit of lies. This false way. What was it? "Because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men." I'd like us to go back to the book of Jeremiah again, this time into Jeremiah chapter 13. We'll read a couple verses beforehand, then we'll get down to verse 25 is the verse we want to get to. But first, notice verse 15. It says, "Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But ye will not hear it. My soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." Let's go down to verse number 22. "And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered and thy heels made bare." You sow the wrong seeds, it's coming upon you. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore I will scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness." It says, "This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and what? Entrusted in falsehood. What does it say back here in Hosea chapter 10? It says here in verse 13, because thou didst, ye have eaten what? The fruit of lies, falsehood. Because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Again here, we can do what we think is going to turn out, but if it's the wrong way, doesn't matter how much we think something is going to work, it won't work if it's the wrong way. Because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men. You know, it might have made sense to them. Hey, we've got some mighty men. We've got some might here. It's going to do something for us. But it says in Psalms, a horse is a what? A vain thing for the day of battle. Safety is of the Lord. Or the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. They had turned to the wrong way. They had sown the wrong things. They had plowed wickedness. They had become self-dependent instead of God-dependent. The result, therefore, shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses, all those mighty places, shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Betharbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. When that tumult came, it was not a light thing. It was a serious thing. And God says, look at what's going to take place. You know, if we had in mind a picture of what would be the result of our actions when we were doing them, if we really understood the fact that we are going to reap what we have sown, and it always is going to be in a greater proportion than what we have sown under normal circumstances, it would change the way we operate. You know, if those mothers could in their mind picture their children being dashed against these stones and to being killed in a cruel fashion, don't you think it would have affected the way they lived their lives? Don't you think it would have affected the choices that they made? But the fact is the results of our actions take time to come to fruition. And we need to really put on God's glasses, so to speak, and see things as they're going to be before they happen, so we make the right choices right now. Verse number 15 says, so shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. The idea of great wickedness is the wickedness of your wickedness. They were pretty destitute in their wickedness. And God says, this is going to come upon you. What had they done? The place that was supposed, you know, stood for the house of God, they had turned it into a place of worship. And now their own sin was going to bring upon them these tumultuous acts. And notice how quickly it was going to come. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. How quickly the wrong harvest comes to fruition. Once it's there, it takes, I guess I don't want to put it the wrong way, it takes very long for it to come to the point. But to experience, might I say it this way, to experience the results of that harvest comes in a very short time. No, it takes a lifetime, so to speak, to sow the seeds, to cultivate the ground. But it doesn't take much time to experience the result of what we have chosen to do. I wonder this evening, is there going to be a successful harvest in your life? Are you planting the right seeds? Are you not just planting the right seeds, but you're preparing the ground? You're breaking up those clods? And then are you going to persevere until that harvest comes? Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to realize the importance, Lord, of these laws that you have set in place. Lord, may someday we experience the blessing of your righteousness being rained upon us. Lord, instead of the destruction that will be rained upon us if we sow the wrong things. Right now, Lord, each of us are making choices that are going to affect not only the time that we are in right now, but will affect eternity. I pray tonight that each one of us would make a serious look at our lives and recognize the serious consequences of the choices that we are making right now in our personal lives, at work, in our families. Lord, I pray you would help us to sow the seeds Lord, that will produce the desired harvest that you want. Wonder with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, are you sowing the right seeds tonight? Don't expect to sow the wrong seeds and to get the fruit that you want. You know, is there something in your family, maybe dads that you know, needs to be removed because the wrong harvest is going to be the result of it? Maybe now you say, you know, maybe you're a young person. You're sowing seeds as well. What are they? Are you sowing righteousness? Wonder, is God speaking to your heart tonight about the seeds that are being sown right now in your life? Say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart about this seed that I am planting. And I realize I've been planting some wrong seeds. And if you have, you need to root them out of your life and replace it. Prepare that ground and plant. Start planting the right seeds. Is anyone like that tonight? The Lord is speaking to your heart about that area. All right, is there anyone else tonight? Lord's work in your life. Okay, I wonder tonight, maybe you've gotten a little discouraged. But God wants you to continue to seek Him, to persevere until that harvest comes. You know, Hosea had to persevere in the midst of a lot of people that didn't like what he was saying. Is there that perseverance taking place tonight? Lord, I pray that you would help us to surrender our lives to what you would want to accomplish in them. Lord, that we won't get to the end of our lives and see a wreckage because of, or the wrong seeds that we planted, or maybe because we got discouraged and we gave up. Lord, we'd be able to get to the end of our lives and see the blessing because of your mercy, because we committed our lives to sowing in righteousness. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.